Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live with yet another exceptional guest with an unusual story to tell. And I'm going to go right to Kathy Joy. And when you want to ask what's in a name, how appropriate that her last name is actually Joy, which is clearly what she brings. I wish this were a television moment so you could see this beautiful smile. You just have to take my word for it. Kathy, I'm going to go to you, and I'll just say that your business during the day is the Joy Resolution. Just tell what that is about, please.
Well, I do consulting based on the same principles of the project we're going to talk about today, around connection and creativity. So I work with a lot of leaders. I work with executive leaders for the most part.
For corporate leaders, or it doesn't matter?
Corporate and small business entrepreneurs.
What do they need when they call you?
Typically what they're calling me for is not what they need.
Of course. Okay. But because they're not aware of what they need, or they're just unable to express it.
Well, it's usually a little bit deeper. I call them drive-bys. So people come and they come with a little drive-by to see if you're safe enough to talk to. And once they decide you're safe enough, you can get in a little closer. But a lot of times what I work with is presence, executive presence.
So somebody calls you and says, I need you to come help me with, and then you fill in the blank.
Oh, they might say my team's not efficient as I need. Uh-huh. Or our marketplace has radically changed and we need innovation. Or I want to train my people to be great leaders like I am.
So the Joy Resolution is just, it happens to be a name people know now, and they know that they could call you for business improvement in a variety of ways. Okay. And they call you for what they think you need, and what they really need is joy?
Always.
I've been in situations where the success has so clearly been that they're having fun.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be around a dismal face.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
When people are in alignment, when their hearts and their minds and their actions and their work is in alignment, it's unstoppable. It's the most beautiful thing. So I'm really out to make people super happy. So they will then be of service to others.
How do you make people super happy?
Well, I think that's secret sauce.
Because like I said, that laugh alone is contagious. When you're around it, you tend to do it. But go ahead. You find their secret sauce.
Yeah, because everybody has a bit of magic in them. I believe everybody has an amazing gift. Mm-hmm. And they typically lose sight of it either around age 2 or 3 or gets kicked out in high school, or by the time they're done with college, they're thoroughly squashed.
What kicks it out? At 2 or 3 and in high school.
Oh, expectations. People think they're supposed to be a certain way, or society, or they get sidetracked by a daydream that's not really their heart's delight.
Yes.
But once they find all
that. Other people's expectations, that's a killer.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst. And in business, it happens a lot. What can happen there is that there are expectations. You're hired for a purpose. There are business results to create, and there are things that you're trying to do for others, you know, creating a product or a service, and we get lost in that. Sometimes people lose their heart.
I'm guessing you don't get lost so much in the goal, but how you're expected to reach it.
Yeah, it could be that. It could be the expectations around how you're supposed to work. The 9 to 5 is really the craziest thought we've ever had. And now
Isn't
we
it?
Have the
yes.
10 to midnight, which is even crazier.
Okay,
or weekends.
Uh-huh.
There's all sorts of madness, actually.
You know, the history of 9 to 5 would be really interesting.
It would be.
Yeah. Daylight, I suppose, in early times.
I don't know about that. But I believe in working with your natural rhythms and your natural gifts, and that brings out a lot more talent and a lot more predestination.
And that varies from person to person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Your natural rhythm, I mean.
Yeah, but if we tune in, there's a collective rhythm that people can get.
Okay.
There's definitely, the cultures and companies create that. So that's part of the idea is to go in and mind, see what's working, what's not working, really emphasize the gifts and what is their strengths and bring that out more.
Okay. So you do the drive-by and they see if they can be comfortable enough with you to talk and what brings that.
Yeah, I'm kind of irresistible.
I know. I can see that.
For the right person, I'm kind of irresistible. And what I mean by that is that if there is a lot of the work that consultants in leadership do is a chemistry match.
Oh, yes. Right?
And so it's really a bit like dating. You're trying to see if you can talk together, if there's you kind of sense each other in terms of trust. If I'm not a fit for somebody, I'll know it right away. They'll know it soon enough. And
you'll know it first.
Typically, I know pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But, otherwise,
chemistry is huge, by the way. You know, we talk about chemistry between lovers.
Mm.
And it's everywhere. It's between parents and children.
It's
God help you if you don't have chemistry between you and your children or the people you work with or just people you see on the street. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm out to create world chemistry.
Well, talk more about this. I see that you've got a lot of notes.
I do.
What is it you want to remind yourself to say?
Well, you know, the reason you had invited me was for a project that I do called Letters to the Universe.
Yes.
And I absolutely adore this project, and it's one of the things that I offer for corporate people to do as events or team buildings or even to get in touch with their communities. But more importantly, I'm just offering it as a gift. It's a community benefit mm-hmm. project.
And how did you come to that?
Honestly, I was on my hands and knees with a broken heart.
Whoa. And you want to tell us about that?
Well, it happened when
I like 2011. I like honestly.
Well, I mean, that's how it started. My heart was absolutely broken.
From a sweetheart affair?
Well, I'd rather not get in the details, but it was romantic.
Oh, that's what I meant.
And it was quite involved, and mm-hmm. it was a very big disappointment. But what happened is it really was a catalyst for what I would call a healing crisis,
mm-hmm.
where I had an opportunity to look at everything again. And what happened is
in a relationship, you mean?
In my life.
Uh-huh.
And it opened me up so wide and so raw that everything got to be put on the table. And I discovered three amazing things at that moment.
What?
One is that love is like gravity. It is absolutely everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely everywhere. And two, that connection is a big part of love. So connecting, in this case, it was a lover that I broke up with, but what I learned was how to connect more to myself. I learned how to connect more with spirit, which I call the universe in my world.
Mm-hmm.
People call it a lot of different things, but that's how I experience it.
Tell me what other people call it, so just in case those people
are
listening,
they might call
relate.
It God. They might uh-huh. call it a savior. They might call it
okay.
all sorts of the divine. They might call it the goddess. They might
okay.
call it a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. But for me, the universe is that some people call it the divine operating intelligence. You know, there's all sorts of possible words for that. But it's the part of us that is greater than.
Okay, so what was the third thing? I'm sorry, I interrupted you there.
Love, connection, and creativity.
Uh-huh.
So those are the three things that I got out of that heartache. And it was very much, my experience was like when do you remember the Grinch that stole Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? So he grabbed everything from the village. He tried to steal Christmas away. He tucked it all up on top of a mountain. And on Christmas morning, they all gathered despite the lack of things, and they held hands, and they sang. And they sang their Christmas song, and they had their joy in their heart. And all of a sudden, you see this Grinch, who spent years on this mountain, all green and crunchy, transform. And that's the power of love. And so it's from that basis, I had the experience of that happening to my heart, where in the Grinch, you see a little heart that's in an x-ray, cartoon x-ray, and then the heart gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it eventually breaks the x-ray panel because it's expanded so much. That was my experience after this heartbreak mm-hmm. and then heart healing. And I wanted to, during that time, I learned about connection, as I explained to myself, to the divine, and then back out into others.
So I have a question to back up a little, if you would, because I think most of us know that feeling of heartbreak. And the first thing that happens is you can't leave the house.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You can't move. It's crippling.
Can't move. Didn't leave the bed.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, if you're lucky, you have a TV and you know where the remote control is if you need some motion in your view.
Yeah.
How do you, what gets us from can't leave the bed to out into the sunshine world again?
For me, it was creativity.
But what did you do?
I did a lot of things. One, I wrote the heck out of my journals.
Uh-huh.
I experienced the pain.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people are afraid to experience pain.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're afraid to experience their heart.
Oh, they think they'll never stop crying if they let themselves start. I think that's true.
Yeah, we get afraid of grief. We get afraid of anger. We get afraid of all these very strong emotions. And the truth is they all transform. They
mm-hmm.
all change. Grief can change into peace
mm-hmm.
when it's fully expressed. Anger can change into a strength. there's a way that if we allow ourselves to feel our emotions and to express them in a way that's appropriate for us and harms not ourselves or anyone else, they're super, super powerful and transformative. And that was my experience. I painted, I danced, I journaled, I talked to dear
friends. Did you have to force yourself to do that, for starters?
No, I allowed myself to lay in bed for a long time.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I
so
did.
You waited till you were ready.
I
you
allowed
waited
the
till
heart
something
to
else pushed
totally
you.
Help happen.
Okay.
I just let it happen.
So at what point, I mean, I've seen this in other women and men, in what I do, and just by being old and living for a long time, that you see eventually the heartbreak and the misery turns to information.
Yes.
It's not colored by pain anymore. It's just information.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes the story. And then finally the story gets boring.
Yes.
Even to yourself.
Even if I don't even care to repeat anything.
Not to mention all the friends that you've had to talk to and who have been so good. Finally, it loses interest.
Yeah. I had this wonderful
teacher.
I
think that's when you know you're really better and you're ready to go on to something else.
Well, I think honoring the process, the movement through it, you know, it's not as black and white as you're in bed one day and then it's a sunny day and you're out skipping around.
Well, no, I want to know how you, yes, that's why I asked.
And that process of moving through it is the most mysterious, wonderful thing that one can experience if you don't take it too personally.
Well, that's the issue of it becomes information.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly like you're saying.
Right.
Exactly like you're saying.
So if you're lucky, you have the insight to let yourself do that.
Yeah.
And evidently you are lucky.
Well, I've had wonderful teachers and healers in my life.
Oh, now who would
and
they
I've
be?
Really
what kind of
great
people?
Friends. Angela Sarian was one of my teachers who passed away last year. And she was the one who said, never tell your story more than three times.
Oh, she did say that.
And you can say it three times, but make it good. Make it good, juicy, full of details.
Yeah.
Tell it with your full heart, and then you're done. So
that's what you allow yourself to steep in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good for her.
So,
good for you.
I like the idea of the limits there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another woman. Her name is Bear McKay. And Bear lives up in Bozeman, Montana. And I studied with her for 5 years, energy healing.
Oh, so this has been a long process for you to get where you are today.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, okay.
52 years.
Yeah,
and maybe a little extra if we talk about preconception. I don't know what was going on then. But, yeah, no, this is a life journey. This is a life journey. It's just a beautiful moment in time right now. So,
well, I'm certainly having one. I'm having a whale of a time here. Tell me what it is. You referred to this Letters to the Universe as an art project.
Yes.
Tell me how that is.
Well,
and what do people actually do?
I'm so in love with this. This is my love story now. It was in 2011. I woke up and the sun was shining. It was one of those days when the sun came back out. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if people had an opportunity to share their thoughts briefly with the entire universe and share their wisdom, share their prayers, share their gratitude, share their sorrow, and just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
What if they had that moment?
Let it go means to put it out there, or let it go in that sense of you don't dwell on the difficult anymore?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Okay.
So I created a mailbox, and this mailbox has, it was, the first one was 4x4, had wings on it. Beautiful.
A physical mailbox?
Yeah.
Or
a
online?
Physical mailbox that I painted sort of the postal blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had a little stand, and then it had these big wings that came up on either side of it. And those wings have a representation for me. And I have a tattoo that has these wings on it that I got during that period of crisis and healing. So it has significance to me. And so we've created this big mailbox, and then I took it out into the desert.
Oh.
And I took this mailbox out to the desert. I had no idea what was going to happen, but I just thought, I'm going to offer people to write letters to the universe. They
now,
want to write.
Took it out to the desert. Was it off of a road so people could see it?
It was actually at Burning Man.
Oh, of course. Okay, wonderful.
So, a perfect place where,
yes,
you know, 65,000 people gather. And I literally was traveling with a friend. We put it right outside of our RV. I sat on top of the RV and watched people walk by. And I said, do you want to write a letter? Do you want to write a letter? You young man, come write a letter to the universe. And I just started hawking. And I was shocked at what was happening. It was just an experiment. But people would come up to the mailbox and they'd have one of three experiences. One, they'd come up and they'd be so kind of like, wow, this is different. I had like 90 seconds to capture their mind, right? And they would reset. They would get into a place where they were like, what do I want to say to the universe? This is a significant.
Would you do the writing for them? Or
they
you
wrote
them
it.
The
I handed
oh,
them
good.
A clipboard.
Okay.
A fuzzy clipboard with sparkles on it. And they got a chance to take a moment to be with themselves to think about what was significant for them to say. Sometimes at the mailbox, so that was the connection with self, right? Sometimes at the mailbox, people would just stand there and some prayed. So they were connecting to something larger, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes at the mailbox, people were connecting with each other. And there were people who would all of a sudden have a deeper look in their eyes to each other, or all of a sudden compassion was present, or all of a sudden there was a moment of peace that hadn't been there. And this mailbox was creating an opportunity for the connection that I had always mm-hmm. wanted to share and mm-hmm. experience with others. And also it was in a very creative way, so it catches you off guard, right? All your normal defenses mm-hmm. are mm-hmm. gone, and you have that little opening. I had mentioned 90 seconds, but that creative disruption gives me 90 seconds.
Well, it also shows how the people who come to you are so ready for it.
They are ready for it.
They're halfway there.
Yeah. 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 Most people are looking for the invitation.
I think so.
They really mm-hmm. are. But that little mailbox, I got 400 letters from that experiment, and I brought it back out this last year, 2014, and collected 3,000 letters.
Wow. So what do you do with the letters that you get?
Well, I read every single one. Mm-hmm. So that's the very first thing is I honor every letter and I mm-hmm. seal them with a kiss. So I've got this big collection of letters I've read and I'm writing a book on it now.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I think it'd be really important for people to understand what others are writing.
Mm-hmm.
They're published on our website also, and we also have social
okay.
media.
Oh, okay. So please, nice and slowly, give your website.
All right. It's www.theuniversecares.
TheUniverseCares.org. Perfect.
Thank you.
One letter off.
You've done this
you know,
a few times.
Yes. Well, I've also been one letter off or one number.
Oh,
okay.
Dear. And we're on Facebook. You can find The Universe Cares or Letters to the Universe on Facebook. So we've published them right now on social media. But I'm going to write this book because the thing that I found I think will shock people is how much gratitude there is.
Oh, well, you know, you're talking to the choir here because if we can just slide over to my kind of love letters.
Yes.
It's the same thing. Because a lot of the love letters that I encourage and that I see are love letters to yourself. We've had people come here who have written love letters to God. One woman wrote a love letter to Time.
Oh.
Time was her lover and her friend. It was gorgeous. Another woman wrote a letter to a brontosaurus, an extinct species, the most passionate, steamy love letter. Gorgeous.
Love.
So, yes, people want to take what's in and share it.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. And sometimes the number one thing was gratitude. The second thing were requests for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So
prayers for others.
Prayers for others.
Lovely. Yes.
And gratitude for others, mm-hmm. right? And then the third thing was requests for themselves mm-hmm. and things that they wanted. And then I get beautiful kind of crazy things, mathematic formulas, mm-hmm. cartoons, mm-hmm. jokes, political statements, environmental stands. But for the most part, it's really a lot of heartfelt mm-hmm. things that have to do with the heart and connection. It's
yes.
beautiful.
And of course, if people are unclogged, unplugged, they do function better.
They do.
Yes.
We had so much fun. This last summer, I took a group of kids. I had a dozen teenagers. And most people are thinking, oh, you know, whenever I see teens out on the street, it's like you either wonder what they're doing or they're peddling maybe something. We used to sell a lot of cookies in my day with my two daughters. But it was like, what can they do to be out in the world and be of service? So I put wings on them, gave them fuzzy clipboards and threw them in front of that mailbox and took them to different events around the Bay Area.
Oh, my.
Taught them about mindfulness, taught them about listening, taught them about presence, and let them loose. And they were freaking amazing. They're amazing.
I know what you're saying. I did a love letters workshop with 5-year-olds. I did it with a kindergarten class. Have these children seen anything but an iPad and a cell phone? And they were these kids were writing so fast. And if they couldn't spell the words, I said, just draw a picture. And they all got sent to someone. I thought maybe they'd write one, you know, they were doing like 4 or 5 letters in one session.
See?
In a 130 minutes, because it's a school day, you know, I don't get the whole day. But yes, everybody really, shouldn't say everybody, but the desire to express yourself in your own handwriting.
Yes.
Is huge.
Yes. That's why we have a connection.
That's right.
We're big fans of pen and paper.
So good. Well, you know, I do want to keep posted on everything you do.
Thank you.
Forever. I want to ask you something. So your letters all come to you. I mean, the letters that you
evoke. We go to
events.
Yeah.
Right. And what about a letter from you to someone that ends up on the mail pile? It gets actually delivered by the postman. I mean, you're getting the joy of opening and reading these.
Mm-hmm.
But to whom would you give the joy of a love letter if you were going to write one right now?
If I would write a love letter?
Yeah. And maybe you have.
I've written a lot of love letters.
Okay, why don't you tell about it? I'm thinking of the one to the sweetheart who didn't work out.
Oh,
of
he
course.
Got a forgiveness letter.
Well,
that's
okay.
A little different.
Well, let's talk about that. Because
okay.
I think forgiveness done right is such a love letter.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
How do you do a forgiveness letter? I wonder if we see it the same way.
Well, the way I just went to it mm-hmm. is I thought about everything he offered me.
The good.
The very good.
There you go.
The very good mm-hmm. that he offered me. And what I learned, where he challenged me, mm-hmm. and what I forgave him for.
Now, I'm just curious, if I may.
Yeah.
How did you say the forgiving part? Because, I tend to think you have to be really careful with forgiveness.
Oh. Well, in this case, being it was such an intimate relationship, what I said to him is, I understood you were trying your best.
Oh, okay. So that was what... Thank you.
Yeah.
You can just have my whole... workshop life as well as your, because forgiveness via understanding is really wonderful.
Mm.
I forgive you. Heaven keep me away from forgivers. You know, I saw a very funny thing the other day. It was a movie and I can't remember what it was. And they had just, I wish I could remember. Anyway, they had just met and, it was, you know what it was. It was La Boheme.
Oh.
And they had just met, the two sweethearts, Rodolfo and Mimi, and watching somebody else's behavior, Musetta's behavior, he said, if you ever did that, I would never forgive you. They had just met, and she looked at him and said, we've just met, and we love each other. Why are you talking forgiving me? Mm-hmm. I mean, that would have been a red flag that would have sent me right out the front door. But, you know.
Thank God for the class. We can learn.
How you forgive is significant.
Yeah.
And whether it's going to get heard. Yes. Oh, that's lovely that you did that. What about the gift of his having released you to become all this?
Wow. I'm pretty grateful.
Isn't that something to be grateful for also?
But I'm grateful for everything that's happened in my life.
Oh, yeah. I can see that in your face.
I am, for the most part, because I think there's very little I'm not resolved with right now. But who would want to change this life? I am the absolutely best person I could possibly be today.
Well, I think that takes a lot of insight to be able to say I wouldn't change my life either for where I am right now or miserable as I am right now for the opportunity that could arise.
I have one regret.
What?
I have one regret, and it happened to be, it was related to the opera. And I have a friend many, many years ago whose father took me to my first opera, and I never wrote him a thank you note.
Oh, is he still alive?
No, he passed away.
What about your friend?
I wrote them. But I regret not having said thank you to introduce me to that art.
Yes.
You know, so I think not every day, it's not perfect every day. And
no.
I have to reconcile myself multiple times during the day and have my moments. But I keep going back to the gift I got mm-hmm. at that time, which is love is like gravity. It's everywhere.
Well, you know, sometimes I've had that also where I just haven't bothered to write or say something. And it can be a generation later that it occurs to me. Mm-hmm. It's not like I just decided not to do it.
Right.
It's just you're busy and it doesn't occur to you. And
the importance.
Writing... Sometimes writing to the children or the grandchildren.
Wow.
I've done that. And just for the joy of expressing it finally. But the gift it is on that other end for a child or a grandchild to get a letter that I'm writing this to your grandpa, but I'm sending it to you.
That's beautiful.
Oh, there's no, well, just like writing to the universe, there's no limit.
No, I love it.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing we do, except that mine, you have to put a stamp on it and take it to an official post office box. Right.
Yeah, mine's a little more ethereal, but I do believe that
powerful.
We put energy into the world all the time, and these letters are just energy. And you're just, when you write a letter, and anybody, people write letters all the time to the universe. I've seen the most beautiful graffiti downtown.
Oh, yes.
Those are gorgeous letters to the universe.
I agree.
Right? I've seen people write letters to the universe in the bathroom stalls. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's things all over that people do to express themselves.
You'd like this maybe. Years ago when I first started this, somebody came to me with a story. He said, I found a blue cobalt bottle in the ocean, you know, at the shore.
Yeah.
And he pulled out the paper. It was a note in a bottle. And he pulled it out, and it was a note written by a woman who was so angry at life. And she was angry, and everything on this was what she hated about people and her life and how they'd done bad things to her. And, oh, it was just a letter of total misery and anger. And she said she was throwing this off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I said to my friend, could I see that letter? And he said, no, I put it back in the bottle and I tossed it back into the ocean to complete its journey.
Wow.
And what about that is a love letter? The fact that she threw it off the bridge and not herself.
Yeah.
And did not hurt people in her family.
Yeah.
So you're right. People are speaking to the universe all the time.
All the time. And I think where the opportunity lies is for us to see that, you know, and listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the art and the work that you're doing is such an amazing offering for people, and it touches them and inspires them every day to think about, well, maybe I'll look at this different. Maybe I'll do this different.
Well,
maybe
and gratitude, you know, that's the main part of love letters also. About 10% of them are romantic or seductive or really sexy, and those are delicious.
Oh, it sounds like fun.
Wonderful. But most of them are gratitude and memories.
Oh.
You know?
Interesting.
And thank you notes.
Humans are interesting creatures.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
We're fascinating.
But, you know, when you talk about that moment of being grateful to where you are.
Yes.
That is huge. That's worth a program all its own. Because I have a friend who once referred to her daughter as, oh, she's just so, you know, she's so impoverished. Well, she was 23 years old, gorgeous, had a new job. She couldn't afford a fancy car. And I said, what is impoverished about her? She's on her way.
Oh, wow.
And she is beautiful and smart and employed, and that she can't afford what you can afford doesn't make her impoverished.
See, those are trappings. That's what I was talking about, corporate and corporate culture and those things. They're all trappings. Because what's really a beauty and value is our spirit, right? There's nothing like the human heart. Nothing like the human heart. It's an amazing organism. And I think the more that we honor it, the different ways we can honor it through our creative work.
So you bring this to businesses also. I think that's wonderful because
wherever I can.
Yes.
I mean, the principles are with me always.
Right.
The principle of everything is based out of love. Everything is, we're all connected in one way or another. So create connections and stay connected. When we're connected, we're not fearful. When we're connected, we're not isolated. We're not depressed.
Mm-hmm.
We're not afraid.
And we're using our energy not in those dreadful ways.
No.
Taking away from what we could accomplish in our business life.
Right. We're creating harmony. Just listen to a choir. I mean, it's this season where people are singing all over the place, right? It's amazing what people can do when they want to contribute together and be together and connected.
Yes.
And then creativity. I'm a strong believer in creative, infinite possibilities.
And you see every aspect of life as a creative one?
Yes.
See, I think any job beautifully done is a gorgeous thing.
Yes, yes, right. I agree.
We're all on the ship together. If everybody does something good, we stay afloat.
You know what? I've really learned a beautiful lesson. I lived abroad for a period of time, and I learned the lesson about how important everybody's job was.
Oh, I agree. I've always thought that, yes.
And, you know, the street cleaner, who, thank goodness for them, you know,
oh.
They kept your street clean.
By the way, I do a little jig and a hug hello to every recycling truck I see. Because my feeling, and they go first, like people honk at them because they're in the way. Would you like to try it without them for a week?
Yeah.
I thought, yes. Or there was an article recently, by the way, on this subject. I'm so excited talking to you. There was an article about how people tend to look down on those who do manual labor.
Oh.
And I can't think of anything I have that isn't the result of somebody's smart manual labor.
I cannot tell you how grateful I am.
The building we're sitting in, the trucks that bring us, you know, if you live in a city, if you have it, a truck brought it. Yes.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking how grateful I am when somebody makes me a meal.
Oh.
You know? And yeah. You think about how somebody who grew that food, good God, if I had to do all that, I would
be starving. That, by the way, that would be easier than running a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if I had to run a restaurant, they would be able to, they'd have to turn it into a padded cell. That is the most complicated. Yes. All right, everywhere we go, let's get together again and talk about some other things of gratitude.
That sounds lovely.
Oh, thank you for doing this with me. Well, you can see that if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, every moment is a special occasion that holds the seeds of a love letter to someone and the universe. Thank you, dear, for doing this with me.
Oh, it's deeply my pleasure.
Janet Gallen and
Kathy Joy.
Saying goodbye for now.